So, yeah, we thank God for another good morning that we can, listen to God's word. And if you've been following, we've been looking at this man, Jacob, and he's one of the fathers, or rather, the Jacob that transformed to be Israel is one of the fathers. And remember, our overarching theme is God revealing himself through his son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, and how in the past times God in diverse manner, in sundry times and diverse manners, spoke unto the fathers through the prophets, and has now revealed himself through the Son. So we've been looking at the past times, and we are still in the past times. And as I mentioned, that God is giving us a grace to just understand the Bible again, to just read the Bible through a different lens. And this is what happens with every periods and every moments that God, releases certain graces and certain seasons and certain times, that there is a new understanding, there's a new hunger for the Word of God, there's a new drive for truth, and God sends forth His teachers and gives us understanding through the Holy Spirit to understand the message that He wants us to understand. And one of the things that we are learning is that everything that was written points us to Christ, and the Old Testament is a pointing finger towards Christ. And each time we read the Old Testament, we must ask ourselves, what is Christ saying, and what are we learning from him? And we've been learning about the challenges of this man, Jacob, trying to get the birthright, the birthright. And the birthright actually represented, symbolically, the birthright represents three things. That's the firstborn privilege. It represents, first of all, the double portion or the inheritance, which is symbolic of fruitfulness. It's symbolic of wealth. It's symbolic of abundance. It's symbolic of, double double. When we're seeing everything in a double double. So the firstborn gets double property, double inheritance, double resources, everything that's double. And I want you to remember that you are the firstborn of Christ, Christ of God. God, Christ is the firstborn, and is the firstborn among many brothers. God was reconciling and bringing forth men, sons for himself, and Christ became our firstborn, and we are included in Christ. Always remember that everything that Christ has been accorded, we were in him. That's why baptism is symbolism of being dying and being buried and resurrecting in Christ. So the moment you're put under the water, it's a symbolic of you being dying together with Christ, as it's said in Colossians chapter 3. Since we died with him and we resurrected with him and we are seated with him. So everything that happens with Christ is a symbol of us, because we are in Christ and our lives are hidden in God, and Christ is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery of the ages. This is the mystery that God has been hiding for a long time, and is now revealing, and has revealed, to the apostles, that Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in those who have believed, he is the hope of glory. And so the second thing that that the firstborn privilege represents is kingship, which is the rulership, which is the one that rules, the one that is Lord, So apart from the wealth, apart from the inheritance, apart from the properties, apart from everything that relates to what we have, material things, then the second representative of the firstborn privilege or the birthright was the kingship. So the firstborn son was king, was supposed to be king and lord, and will rule over the brothers. And then the third thing that the firstborn privilege represents is priesthood. He was also to be priest and the priest over the family, and that is also what the firstborn does. So these are three dimensions of the firstborn, and anytime you think of that, now think of Christ, and those are three dimensions of Christ that should exist in the believer. Remember, we are called a kingdom of, he has redeemed us as a kingdom of kings and priests unto our God. we are redeemed, a kingdom of kings and priests. Revelation 1 verse 6. So there's kingship, there's priesthood, and then there's dominion. You know, so those a king must have a domain. You understand? For you to be a king, you must have a dominion. So a kingdom means a king over his domain. And so you have kingship, which represents the horn that God gives you, because God gives you a horn, an anointing, a specific skill that will elevate you above your teachers, that will make you 10 times better. You know, 10 times better. And each of us has a unique gift. There's a unique grace that is upon you that the world is yet to experience, that the world is yet to see. And unless you tap into the grace of the Holy Spirit, unless you tap into the grace of God, you might never fully discover what is this grace that God has anticipated, God has prepared, God has given you potential for. And only those that find, those that stumble, actually at times many people just stumble into that grace. Many people just stumble into their calling. If you ask someone where they are in their career, they will tell you, I don't know how it happened, but along the way, I stumbled into it, because not many people from an early age are sure of where they want to be. Yes, there are few people who have that grace and they can tell you, oh, from an early age, I wanted to be a doctor and this is the kind of doctor I've become. But there are others who stumbled into their inheritance, and that stumbling could be an object of grace. It could also be an object of alignment, because when you are in a certain place, when you're in a certain, receiving a certain type of word, a certain type of teaching, like the Bible says, the people prospered under the preaching of Ezra and Nehemiah. So people prosper when the word of God is being taught, because God orders things. God orders your mind. God orders your thinking. God orders your pattern. God orders things to align for you. And so each time you stay in the word, each time you stay in the truth, then God orders certain things for your life, you know. So the birthright that Jacob was fighting for, it had three dimensions, the double portion. It had the kingship and it had the priesthood. And you see, when he steals it, I'm just going ahead of our teaching. When he goes back to meet his brother, when he actually returns back the double portion, he returns back the birthright. When he's giving away all those gifts, you know, first of all, he gives offerings, you understand? He sends forth grain, he sends forth his family, he sends forth his animals, everything. And eventually even calls his brother Lord. You understand? He calls his brother Lord. When he is going back to meet his brother, he does a restoration of all those things. He sends them away, because those are things that he earned through his human effort. And this is what I've been teaching. There are things that when we try to earn things through our human capacity and effort, they are like men trying to work out their righteousness. Their righteousness being worked out through human effort. And that is basically religion. And Christianity is not a religion. And it's not supposed to be a religion, because religion is man's attempt to get near to God. Yet Christianity, or rather authentic and true Christianity, is already God is the one who came to man. When Adam sinned in the garden, it is God who came to him. It is God who asked him, Adam, where are you? Adam was not even looking for God in that state. So we can see from the beginning of creation, we have a God that is actually the one that seeks out us. He's the one that seeks out for us. And so the birthright, when he restored it all, when he sent it out to his brother, that is when God could meet him. And God will only meet us. And God comes to meet us at our point of surrender. As long as we have people in our mind who we think can help us, as long as we have our ideas, as long as we have people, places, as long as we have concepts, as long as we are thinking that, oh, this is how I will maneuver, oh, this is how I will get this person to do this, oh, this is the list of the things, as long as we are thinking of our own ways and sticking to our own ways, you understand? Because at times there are thought patterns that we have been taught, there are things that we've been taught that this is how it is supposed to be, yet it might not have been the pattern of God. And it is only scripture and truth that will point us in the right direction of God's purposes. Why do I say that? For example, let me use this example. You can find that if you're in a prophetic a church that has a prophet as a leader, you will find that almost everyone wants to be prophetic. Yet, it is not everyone that is called and ordained to be a prophet. Or let's say pastoral, or let's say apostolic, you find now everyone wants to be an apostle. Everyone wants to be an apostle. Everyone wants to behave like an apostle, to teach like an apostle. Everyone wants to do all those things like apostles. Yet, God has called us uniquely with there's a unique grace that God has given each one of us. And if you're called to the marketplace, no matter how hard you try to be an apostle, then you will be in the wrong element and you will struggle. The reason why people struggle is because they are not in the place of their assignment. Men have been ordained when they should not have been ordained. Men are given certain things when they should not have been doing certain things. Yes, they may be right. Yes, it might be human effort, but unless you go back to God, then you will find your true purpose. Purpose is only found when we come to alignment with God, when we come to alignment with Christ. And that's why at times God asks, how long will you linger through this mountain? How long will you linger in the wilderness and not enter into the territory that I've asked you to enter? Now, let me just take it back to Jacob. After he does that, the Bible says that a man wrestled with him. A man wrestled with him. And I believe as Bible students, you are able to just carry on and keep reading, because I think there's a way that I'm just piecing it together. And the Bible says that a man wrestled with him. And this man, I believe, was Christ incarnate. This was Christ who came as flesh. This was God who came as flesh. And you know, any time when you read the Old Testament and you see the angel of the Lord, you must understand that, or even the one who came to meet Abraham, that was Christ incarnate coming to meet Abraham. You understand? The Word who came as flesh and came to meet Abraham. And as he wrestled with him, the Bible says he wrestled with him the whole night. And he could not overpower him. That tells you that it's unique, because it tells you that this was a man who had gotten to his breaking point. He had nothing. And for me, I look at it as a metaphor of a man wrestling with God for his destiny. A metaphor for when Esau cried for the blessing, what did God tell him? God told him, Isaac told him that I don't have any blessing, but all I can tell you is this: the day when you shall get tired, the day when you shall get tired, you shall grow restless and you shall break off the yoke of your brother. A time, there is a time to be restless with God. There's a time to say enough is enough. There's a time to say, you know what? This must stop. This is the last day that I'm going through this. This is the last moment that I'm ever going to do this. And this is a place I want to challenge you for whatever aspect of your life, whether it is your health, whether it is your finances, whether it is your spiritual growth, whether it is your family, you have to get to the point of restlessness and say that I will break off this yoke. And this yoke can be ideological, this yoke can be spiritual, this yoke can be a burden. And Jacob went through this phase. And this was his night of reckoning. He wrestled with God. And when God saw that it was morning, because there are certain things, and that's why we keep telling people, wake up early in the morning. There are certain dimensions, there are angelic dimensions that don't come during the day. it's a truth, it's a reality. There are certain things that early in the morning is when some things are just, they are so deep that when you wake up, there's things that God started speaking to your ear very fast. Truths that are revealed. And as you receive them, then they move you in certain dimensions. Never despise those first morning ideas, or those ideas that come when you're deep in prayer, that when you know that this is just the voice of God, you are not thinking about it. Those investments that come, those directions that come, those are the sensitivities that God is calling us to, that you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you are certain, when you receive insight, even when I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, there are things that there is a voice that comes to you in these moments. This, because you are deep in the presence of God, those are communications that are coming from the Spirit of God, because they don't come from far. God, at times, will not speak in the way you expect him. It is a small, still voice. Elijah was waiting for the fire. He thought God was in the wind. He thought God was in the fire. He thought God was in the earthquake. No, but the small, still voice, then he knew the Lord was speaking, and he covered his face. Many times we look for the external manifestations, yet God is in the simplicity. He's in the simplicity. He visited Adam in the voice, the sound of the voice of the Lord. Let us understand that our God is in the simplicity. That's why he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. There's something that is greater than the external manifestation, that is greater than the charismatics, that is greater than the speaking in tongues, that is greater than the working in miracles, that is greater than the burning bush, that is greater than the burning mountain and fire. There is the voice of God. And any man that has walks, that purposes, that the voice of God is so loud in them, that person will never fall. He will never fall. And as he wrestled with God, then God asked him, then let me go. Let me go. It is already morning. Then he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now I want you to ask a question. Did Jacob steal the blessing from his brother? Yes. All his life, when he looked at everything he had, did he think he was blessed? Yes. But until that point, he realized that all these things were not the blessing. There is the blessing that he needed. There is that spiritual substance. There is a spiritual substance of the blessing that when it is on you, that it favors you. That everyone who looked upon Esther saw her with favor. There is a spiritual component of a blessing that is of Christ, that is of a grace of Christ, that draws men to you, that the Bible says that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, that he shall send forth the rod of the Spirit, the rod of his power, the rod of the scepter of his rod. He shall send it forth, and he shall say, roll in thy midst of thy enemies, roll in thy midst of thy enemies, roll in thy midst of thy enemies. That is the Holy Spirit. There is a grace that comes from the Holy Spirit. As you dig deeper in him, as you exercise yourself to righteousness, as you build up yourself in the most holy faith, as you desire to be deeper, the Bible says, as you eagerly desire the greater gift, you're called forth to another measure. When you read Ezekiel, it says that when he came to the waters, he saw the waters. First of all, he entered his feet. The water was at his ankle. Then he got deeper. It reached to his knees. Then he went deeper another meters. It got to his waist. Then it got deeper. Then there were enough to swim in. That is how God is. God is so vast and so depth. There is so much depth in God. That God is calling us to that deeper place, another measure, until all you can is just swim. We need to soak ourselves. We need to immerse ourselves in Him. And you see, the transition happened for Jacob when he was told, okay, you want me to bless you, but I cannot bless you with this name, Jacob. I cannot bless you with this name, Jacob. What is your name? Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. Jacob means supplanter. Then he said, your name shall be no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Israel. Your name shall be Israel. And God says, Israel is my firstborn. He lost the earthly firstborn. He gave back the earthly firstborn right to his brother, but he received the firstborn status of heaven. Israel is my firstborn. Ezekiel, Exodus 4:22. And that is what I want to tell you, that the true Israel, the true church, is Christ. Christ is the firstborn. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things were made in heaven and on earth, that he might have supremacy. Colossians 1, 15, 16, 17 onwards, that we might have supremacy. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. We are the firstborn of God. And you only become that firstborn when you surrender to be included in Christ. When you recognize that it is not men, it is never of men. It is not of him that willeth. Oh, but it is of God that showeth mercy. God shows us mercy in Christ. May the word of the Lord be praised. Amen. I'm done. Okay, there's no further addition, just to say that. Yes, go ahead. Yes, Lord. Okay. Yeah, so I'll pray then. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word that has come forth so mightily. And I'm humbled by the grace that you've given, oh God. It's not of me, but it's your doing, it's your insight, it's your revelation, it's your grace, oh God. Teach us, bring us to truth, oh God. Bring us to truth, oh God. Bring us to truth that sets us free, oh God. Bring us to the place of the true blessing. The blessing that is not in men, the blessing that is not in men of God, the blessing that is not in ministries, but the blessing that is in Christ. Christ in those men that we are following. Christ in those. Let us always see Christ behind everything that we do and everything that we serve and everything that we accomplish. Let it be of Christ, in Christ and through Christ, oh God. That we should not be diverted our focus from God to man, because cursed is he that puts his trust in man. May our focus be on Christ. May our blessing be of Christ. May our blessing, the true blessing, be of Christ. The true birthright be of Christ. You are our inheritance, O God, for this life and the life to come, the hope that holds our anchor, the anchor for our souls secure, O God. May we experience that truth and that life, O God. I thank you that you answer prayers, O God. Thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our workplaces. Thank you for the rest that you give us. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the churches. Thank you for the ministries that shall be in place this today and also on Sunday in the various places. Oh God, we pray for release of your people to attend and to minister and to receive of you. We thank you for the communion. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the ministrations. The Lord, it shall be of you, oh God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Go ahead of us, keep us, and sustain us, O God. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. 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 Tabu, just hold on. Yeah, so well, then have a good, good, blessed day. And